Thank you, Zara. Our second reading is from Daniel chapter 2, page 885. So 885, I'm reading from the beginning of chapter 2. I'm just going to read through to verse 18 to begin with. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep, like Pharaoh in Joseph's time. So the king summoned the magicians and enchanters, sorcerers and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I'm certain you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. The men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This weekend, the Japanese emperor, kings and queens, the president of the United States, and heads of states from across the globe are assembling for the queen's funeral. There will be royalty. Belgium's King Philippe and Queen Mathilde, King William Alexander of Queen Maxima from the Netherlands, King Philippe and Queen Letizia of Spain, royal family from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Monaco. There will be political leaders, French President Emmanuel Macron, German President Frank-Walter Steinmeier, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and from further away, the Ghanaian President, you'll have to tell me if I get this wrong, Nana Akufo-Addo. Is that right? Yeah, it's close enough, thank you. Indian President is Drupadi Murmu, have I got that right? Is that how you say it? Drupadi Murmu? Yeah. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, amongst others. Now, the government has asked most of these leaders to arrive on commercial flights, regular flights, and they're going to be bussed in en masse from a site in West London, just like ordinary people like us, like we'd get on a bus. All those presidents and kings and queens are going to be getting on a bus, except Joe Biden. He flew in on Air Force One. And he's not going to get the bus. But what amazing power and influence of Queen Elizabeth II. Now, these people from around the world, many of whom, you know, we'd never have a chance to meet any of those in our lifetime. But they're all gathering around, put on a bus, so that they can go to see the queen's funeral. Who could be greater than that? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He could call all the leaders of the nations to his palace when he was alive. And he would get them to come to his palace, not as friends, people who mutually admire one another, but as his servants. And yet, for all that power, it is not enough. His mind is troubled and he can't sleep. Simple human experience. His mind is troubled, he can't sleep. And he's sure there's a meaning to it, that there's a message here, but he can't fathom it. They haven't got around to inventing the internet yet, so he can't log on and do a search. And the people who would know, the people to ask, they've got the information in their heads or in their scrolls or through the magic tricks that they will use. So he calls them all in. And that tells us, it reminds us again, what if you weren't here last week, we looked at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his friends, they've come from the land of Israel. They are the people of the God of the Bible. They are here in a very strange place. They are outsiders. The magicians here is where we get the word magi from, people who look at the stars to try and work out what's happening. The enchanters use spirits. They're very strange to Daniel and his friends. The people they're amongst are not servants of the God of the Bible. And wise people like Daniel and his friends know that's always the case in today's world. The servants of the God and Father, the Lord Jesus, are not at home in this world. And the fact that the influence of the Bible and Christians is dying in the UK, in Nigeria, in Kenya, in other countries, it's not a surprise. It's what's always been happening. We're outside. And Daniel's book teaches God's people in a strange world how to live well, how to be wise. I've got a slide, I think, that sums this up. Daniel teaches us how to be wise, and then two bullet points. First, we're going to see, be humble, know your place. And second, trust God's plan will happen. Well, back in this time, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, calls in all the information experts. He's got the power. He can get all those experts in at the click of a finger. Tell me what it means. Verse 4. Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and then we will interpret it." And the king doesn't really trust these guys. So he wants to be sure that they're really explaining him something from the supernatural realm. "No, you tell me the dream and its meaning." You see what the discussion is? They're saying, "Tell us the dream, then we'll explain the dreams." No. I want you to tell me the dream that I've had. I'm not going to tell you. You're going to show that you really can find out knowledge. Tell me the dream and the meaning. Verse 7. Once more, they replied, the astrologers and the others, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." They're a bit like one of those automatic telephone answering machines. Yeah, they never answer your question. It just keeps saying the same thing to you. That makes you want to hang up, doesn't it? Back to the king. "You're playing with me," he says, verse 8. Then the king answered, "I'm certain you're trying to gain time because you realize this is what I've firmly decided. You're just playing with me." Back to the astrologers. "Sorry, king, we don't offer that service. In fact, no one offers that service." Verse 10, the astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among humans." Well, the king has a tantrum. He's fed up. And so he decides all the wise men must be put to death, including any wise men who hadn't been at the meeting with him. So the king sends out the commander of the king's guard, maybe one of the guards we're seeing from Westminster all over the TV at the moment. One of them goes out with the instruction to kill them. So what we've seen so far in this story is the so-called wise people in Babylon don't have the answers. And the so-called powerful people are weak. For all his power, Nebuchadnezzar is humbled in his own bedroom. Reminds me of the coronavirus, how that sent world leaders into their bedrooms, sent our prime minister into hospital, didn't it? But all Nebuchadnezzar's power, armies, his palace, he can't sleep at night and he can't sort it out. And his experts can't help him. And if we're to be wise today, we're to understand that about the great rulers in our nation and in our nation, in our world. Sorry, the great rulers in our world, the people like President Xi of China, President Biden of America, Putin in Russia. It seems that he's able to send half of Europe into a cost of living crisis by withholding energy. That's power, isn't it? There's the industrial giants or the information giants, Elon Musk and Zuckerberg, controlling what we read and even perhaps what we might know in some areas. Immense power. But behind the doors of their bedrooms, naked before God, they are as weak as any human. They're as weak as Nebuchadnezzar. Think about what all those great royal figures and politicians will see tomorrow. They'll see a box with a dead person inside it. Death has ended her life. Daniel is teaching us to be wise, to live rightly in God's world and to know our place. In Daniel, God humbles those who are proud in their thoughts and shows them the truth of themselves. For us, who are followers of Jesus, let's take away the lesson to remember our human weakness. We are only wise when we come to our senses before God. And that means recognizing we're so much less than God. We can't snap our fingers at God like Nebuchadnezzar's trying to do here. God goes deeper than our secret dreams. God does not dwell among men, as the wise men tell Nebuchadnezzar. Be wise by being humble and having a realistic view of yourself. Well, within the events that happen then, Daniel, one of God's people, one of the truly wise, and his friends are in danger. They seek God's help. And now the issue is called a mystery. The interesting change in words, not just a dream, it's a mystery. Mysteries in the Bible are things that are hidden from us, but known to God, and God chooses to reveal. So verse 19, back to the Bible, verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others." God in heaven is the one who deposed Queen Elizabeth II and has raised up King Charles III. Now, that doesn't mean he approves of every queen and king and president and prime minister, but it does mean they can only rule by his enabling. It also means God doesn't just predict the future. Some people understand that God can predict what's going to happen. Yes, he can. He can predict it because he controls it. It's him who determines who will reign and when they will reign. Back to the passage. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. So God has chosen to reveal what all the clever people, the knowledge people in Babylon couldn't work out. It wasn't by horoscopes, that the guesses and make-believe that you get in the newspapers and on the internet to do with stars, not by seances or Ouija boards. And it's not that Daniel worked it out or imagined it. God revealed it. And so it's time to get in touch with Arioch again, verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel said to him, "Don't execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king and I will reveal the interpretation for him. I will interpret his dream for him. It says that Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. Just a little interesting spot there. Arioch hadn't found him, had he? He'd come to Arioch, but Arioch's trying to, you know, get whatever credit he can and up his wage scale, I guess. The king asked Daniel, who's also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Verse 27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery. So it's got that word, the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come, your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet. Thank you, the sound effects going on outside there. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Chaff that's mentioned in verse 35, the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were broken to pieces, it became like clap chaff. Chaff is something that farmers deal with when they've harvested grain. They grind it so that not grind it, but what's the word? Thresh. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. They thresh it, which is rubbing the outside skin off the hard seed. The seed is the bit you want to keep that you then do grind to make flour. But the seed is wrapped in a sort of hard skin that's rubbish. That's called the chaff. So they thresh it. They rub it off. They chuck it in the air and the heavy grain falls to the floor, but the wind blows the chaff away like dust. It's just rubbish. You see the picture he's using there? These great gold head, silver chest, bronze tummy, iron and clay. It's just pushed off by the wind to nowhere. Well, what's this mean? He's told the dream the wise men and astrologers couldn't do, and he's going to give the explanation. That those different parts of that body represent different empires that are to come. Verse 36, this was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so will it crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. That's where the phrase feet of clay comes from, but we use in English sometimes. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven, the God of heaven, not an army, not an election, not an inheritance. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So just as in the dream, there were four parts of the body. That's what Nebuchadnezzar had had in his dream that had unsettled his mind. Daniel now explains it. Those four parts of the body are four empires to come. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, the empire of Babylon. That will be overthrown, and the Bible tells us about this in the Bible times, by the empire of Persia. Persia will be overthrown by the empire of Greece. And that's the third kingdom. And the Bible tells us Greece was overthrown by the empire of Rome. During the Roman Empire, the Son of God was born on earth, and he established a king that will never end. Verse 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and an incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chief ministers over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Daniel is teaching us to be wise. So that at the beginning, got it on the slide still. Be humble to know your place and trust God's plan will happen. In this chapter, God reveals his plan in a dream that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't understand, which becomes a mystery that God reveals to Daniel, who tells the dream and explains its meaning. And wise people are the people who accept God's explanation of history. Two things to encourage us about this explanation. Firstly, I'm going to explain now why I asked Sarah to read that Joseph story before the Daniel story. I wonder if some of you have spotted. There were a lot of similarities. I've got a slide, Daniel, if you could put that up, please. Here we go. Daniel is like Joseph. Let's go through. Forcibly taken from his country. Do you remember in the Joseph story, his brothers sold him as a slave and he was taken off to Egypt. Daniel was taken forcibly to Babylon. Handsome in appearance, that's said about both of them. They come to live as a courtier in the royal court. That happened for both. The king is troubled by a dream. Pharaoh in the time of Joseph had the dream about the grain and then about the cows. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel's time has this dream about statue. None of the magi can explain it. Both times. The exile, so the exile person, Joseph, back in Genesis, Daniel in this book, they're brought before the king. And what they say to the king is, I can't explain it. Interpretations belong to God. Both of them say that. But God has made known to the king what God will do. They also say that. I should put commas around that. And at the end of the story, we didn't get to that in Joseph, but in the Daniel story, we read it. It happens for both. The king exalts that exile, Joseph, and then Daniel to the highest place. Well, that's an encouragement because Daniel is like Joseph. And you think about what happened to Joseph after that, brilliant things happened to God's people. They were rescued from Egypt and brought into the promised land. So when you start hearing the same story again with Daniel, all those elements happening, it's to encourage you to think God's going to do the same sort of thing again. Just as he brought about that brilliant rescue after Joseph in the time of Moses and people came to the promised land, he's going to bring about another brilliant rescue. That's the sort of thing God does. And that's why there are so many connections. But there's also, is there another slide? Yes, that's just repeating the main points. Another reason to be encouraged is by looking at the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and this future that he's promising. There are going to be four empires, the world empires of their day. I've said that they are Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome. And then the time of Rome, a new empire is going to come. This is the rock that comes, not from human hands, not made, but not of human origin, and not of human character, because it lasts forever. This is the coming of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth came and built a kingdom, not of human hands, built with stone and gold, but with living stones. The Bible says we, if we're Christians, are living stones who are the building of God's temple, not with gold. The Bible says that our trust in God is more precious than gold and endures more than gold. Jesus didn't establish his empire by violence against his enemies. It came about through his enemies' violence against him when they killed him and humiliated him. But God then established Jesus as king by raising him from the dead. And Jesus is sending his spirit to live amongst his people. This is the forever kingdom that God promised, and it has begun. So Daniel 2 teaches us to be wise. God has revealed the mystery. He's made clear the plan. Be humble. Know your place before the God of heaven. Queen Elizabeth knew it before she died, and it's even more evident tomorrow. Now she is dead. Trust God's plan. Even though it looks like the great ones, like Nebuchadnezzar, are in charge of the world, the truth is that the ruling God has begun an eternal kingdom. We don't see it. If you just rely on what you see, you would despair as a believer in God. But if we trust the plan that God has revealed to Nebuchadnezzar and explained through Daniel, you can know that God is working to create an empire that's never going to end. And it began with the death of Jesus, his resurrection, and his sending of the Spirit. We're part of it if we're believers. And one day it will become clear to the universe. That's the way of wisdom. Let's just have a pause and think about what we've heard from God's word. Almighty God, thank you that you provide the means for us to become wise and to live well as humans created by you. And more than that, you provided the way for us to become your children, adopted into your family. Lord, please give us the humility to recognize who we are before you, not to be proud, but to be humble. Please give us the trust to accept that you are working your plan, establishing the kingdom of Jesus forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I guess I should have added at the end of the talk to explain the way God is building that kingdom, of course, is as we tell the news of Jesus and others become believers with us. And we who already believe, as it says, we keep hearing that news of Jesus and of his significance as we deepen in our trust. That's the kingdom, the empire of Jesus being strengthened and established.